Praise the Lord. We'll be singing something like that when we step on heaven's shore. We'll be singing, I've made it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you turn in your Bibles to the first epistle of John, the 5th chapter tonight. First John chapter 5. I want to read one verse tonight, and I think this is one of the greatest promises of Scripture. Could you stand for the reading of God's Word? The apostle says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Anyone here born again of God? "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." I want to preach tonight on our promise of victory. Our promise of victory. Hallelujah. I like the sound of that. Our promise of victory. We're not slated for defeat. Amen. We're scheduled for victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, help us tonight. Encourage those that need encourage. Strengthen those that need strengthened. Help us catch a glimpse, Lord Jesus, of all that you've accomplished, that we might be overcomers, that we might have the victory. Lord, touch us tonight in the preaching of the word and afterwards in the altars. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Brother Maggard was mentioning the Vietnam War, and what he had to say will dovetail with the way I want to begin tonight. I want to call your mind to the war in Afghanistan. And anything I say is not a political statement. It's to make an illustration of something. But just this recent week or two, new candidates for presidency, and being either in the debates or by reporters, they've been asked a lot about the war of Afghanistan. And one of the questions I've heard them ask them about that country and about our war there, they ask this question: what does victory look like? What does victory look like? You know, I think the debacle today in Afghanistan is an illustration of that, but the debacle today is to wage a war without the goal of winning it. How do you wage a war without the goal of winning? The debacle is there are those who believe we cannot win. I'm already talking spiritual now, not political. But there are those, not only do they not have the aim of winning, they in their hearts don't believe that we can win. The debacle are those, and this gets even worse, who don't want to win. I think it goes a step further. It's not just they don't believe we can win. They're rooting for the other side. They don't even want to win. But I want you to know, amen, if we have any goal in mind other than winning, then the assurance is we will not win. I got in this to win it. Hallelujah. I believe everything about the word says we can win it. And I don't care how it may feel tonight. You may be up against it. It may look like defeat is inevitable. It may look like there's no way out of your problem. It may look like the enemy has the upper hand. It may look like you're going to have to cry surrender. But on the authority of God's word, I say no. I know it's a battle, but we're in it to win it, and we can win it. Can you say amen? I want you to notice in this verse, first of all, this promise indicates the world's out to get us. I don't want to give you a complex tonight, but on the authority of God's word, I want to tell you the world is out to get believers. This isn't some conspiracy theory, but I want you to know the world is out to get believers. Look at the promise again. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You see, you have to overcome something that comes against you. The only reason you would overcome something is that it's in conflict with you. It's opposing you. It seeks to destroy you. You're in a struggle with it. This world is out to get the believer. This whole promise of victory over the world indicates one thing. The world is out to get us. And I want you to know, if it could, the world would eat us up. I don't suppose you would remember about 2 years ago, I preached a sermon on this world is not your friend. You know, some folks ought to just realize that world out there is not the friend of the believer. It's not the friend of the Christian. It's not the friend of a life lived for God. It's not the friend of holiness. It's not the friend of righteousness. It's not the friend of our leader, Jesus Christ. That world out there is not our friend. It's our enemy. That's why this promise means something, that we can have a faith and a victory over it. It means something. Because this world is against us tonight. Amen. Why would anyone want to be a friend to this world when this world will never be a friend to them? Amen. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, in reference to Christ, he said, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. I'm telling you, this world isn't something to embrace. This world is something to be delivered from. This world isn't something to be a friend with. This world is something to be delivered from. And I'm telling you, through Christ, amen, we can be delivered from this world. We can overcome this world. This is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so the promise tells us that the world is against us. To John, though he does use it differently, amen, most of the time here, John uses the word world to refer to the system organized out there, the system organized of evil that caters to our flesh while at the same time seeking to destroy us. When he refers to the world, he's talking about the allurement out there that tries to allure us with promised pleasures for the sole purpose of destroying us. When he talks about the world, he talks about the mentality of the world that's dog eat dog and trying to get ahead at the expense of you and I, at our expense. When he talks about the world, he's also talking about the hardship, the trials, the griefs, the sorrows, the cares of this life. When he talks about the world, he's even talking about the necessary responsibilities. I mean, it can get you down just because you have to pay taxes. It's all a part of this world. Amen. But this promise says all of that is against us. But the promise is we can overcome it. We can overcome the temptation of the world. We can overcome the trial of the world. We can overcome the cares of the life of this world. Amen. We can overcome the difficulties of this world. Sometimes we do feel like the world's just about to overcome us. Have you been there? Sometimes we do feel like we're just about to be overwhelmed, that the world's about to swallow us up. We feel like it's going to undo us. We feel like we're not going to make it. And in those moments, we need this promise. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. Secondly, tonight I want you to notice the promise is important because the world must be overcome. In other words, there's no other way to deal with the world other than to overcome it. Amen? If the world is coming against us, if the world is seeking to overpower us, if the world's attempting to get us, we can't ignore it. We must overcome it. I want to tell you, young people, you can't negotiate with temptation. You can't come to some agreement with this world. Amen. It's like some have suggested politically that we need to negotiate with those who have one sole aim, and that is to destroy every American and the American way of life. You cannot negotiate with someone that is sworn to your destruction. Amen. You can't negotiate with this world. It is sworn to your way of life in Christ Jesus. You cannot escape this world until Jesus comes. We are in this world. I know we're not of it, but we are in this world. You can't escape it. You can't strike an agreement with this world. I want to tell you tonight, the world isn't something you can embrace. The world's not something you can give into, negotiate with, and the world is certainly not something that the believer should love, but the world is something to be overcome. That's the only way to deal with this world. That's the only way to deal with its pressures. It's the only way to deal with its attack. The only way to deal with the world is to overcome. And this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Well, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You know, the thing is, there's no way to overcome something without struggling with it. There will be a struggle. There will be a fight, an opposition. Now, I would like to believe some folks, they've been married 50 years, and they'll look at you and say, we've never had a disagreement. We've never had a quarrel. We've never had a fight. We need pictures on our walls of the saints. I'm sure we are to believe some of them. But in most cases, yeah, I'm on thin ice already. In most cases, if a married couple says we never have a quarrel or a fight or a struggle, if that is true, and I wouldn't want to doubt, but if that is true, it's simply because one of them just keeps giving in. And that's why there's no struggle. Let's get back to the world. That's easier. How many knows it's easier to preach about the world than his marriage? I want to tell you something. If you say, I don't have no struggle with the world, I don't have no quarrel with the world, I don't have any fight with the world. You know why? You know why you don't? If that is true, you're just giving in. The world won't fight you if you give in to it. Right? That's what that old fella said. Preacher preached on overcoming temptation. He said, I don't need that. He said, I never struggle with temptation. I just give in. That's not the goal. The goal is to overcome. The goal is to have the victory. Amen. And I believe the question for us tonight, am I overcoming the world or is the world overcoming me? There's only one way, amen, to handle the world. Overcome it. And then this promise means something. I want to point out this promise means something only to the one who wants to overcome. I remember when I was, the last time I taught the joint class of teenagers and the young adults, and I do this ever so often, Brother Brian's doing it this time around, on our distinctions, you know, why we live the way we live, and our Pentecostal distinctives, and our holiness distinctives. It occurred to me so many times as I taught the young people, and I would tell them that, I would say to them, you know, if you don't have a heart to live for God, if you don't really want to make it to heaven, if you don't really want to please the Lord, what I'm saying is the silliest thing you ever heard. You're uninterested in it. You could care less. But if you have a heart to serve God, if you want to please Him, suddenly it's not silly anymore. Suddenly you're not uninterested anymore. And I want you to know this promise, this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It only means something to somebody who wants to overcome. If you're here tonight and you're finding the world appealing and you're attracted to the world and you really don't have your heart set on serving God, this promise means nothing. You don't want to overcome the world. You kind of like it. It looks attractive to you. Amen. But if you're tired of this world and you want to please God and you want spiritual victory and you want to walk with God and you want the presence of God and you want to make it there, this promise isn't silly. It's a wonderful thing to know, yes, I'm in a struggle, but this promise means something because it tells me however tough it gets, I'm going to overcome. I'm going to be victorious. I'm going to see it through. I'm going to make it to heaven. Hallelujah. Means something to somebody who really wants to overcome. Only a born-again person can overcome the world because only a born-again person really wants to overcome. If you have no real desire to overcome this world, that's a great indication that you're not born again. Because if you're really born again, you want to overcome. You don't want to be a victim, a casualty of this world. In fact, I'll tell you, I'll take it a step further. A born-again person has an anti-world nature. Being born again, they have it. I'm not talking about the people of the world. We love them. But I'm talking about the ways and the pleasures and the fashions and the fad. If you're really born again, you have a different nature. If someone's born again, you don't have to keep, it don't matter if they're a young person or older person, if they're really born again, you don't have to keep telling them, you shouldn't love what's out there. You shouldn't like what's out there. You shouldn't be involved in what. If they're really born again, you won't have to keep telling them that because they've got a new nature. And that new nature loves God, not the world. It loves the Father, not the things in the world. It loves Jesus, not the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Amen. When you're born again, you got a nature that's anti-world and pro-Jesus Christ. On the same token, you know why so many folks are against Jesus and against the cross, the church? They're not born again. And then I think this promise, last of all tonight, it reveals that we are given the wherewith to overcome. We are given the wherewith to overcome. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What overcomes the world? The victory. What is the victory? It's our faith. We're given that. We're not left on our own to face the adversary. We're not left without weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Hallelujah. Well, someone say, praise the Lord. I was trying to think of the first time I heard this term as a kid, and I think it was on that little hill between my grandparents' house and my cousin's next door. But some of the kids up the street in the neighborhood were picking on different one of us in our little group, and one of them had either a knife or brass knuckles. Now, we didn't have a TV, so, you know, new terms and stuff, I had to learn them, you know, from the neighborhood kids. And I said, what's that? Instead of saying brass knuckles or a knife, they said, that's my equalizer. How many's heard that terminology? I saw a guy one time, he felt threatened. He went, grabbed his tire iron out of the trunk, hit it in the palm of his hand. He said, I got my equalizer now. I'm telling you, any of us on our own are no match for this world and our enemy. But we've got more than an equalizer. He has given us the victory to overcome. And the victory to overcome is in our faith. Amen. I'm currently reading a book about the history of Scotland and the Scottish chiefs when they were trying to overcome the tyranny of King Edward, and their land had been razed and their houses destroyed, and the one chieftain, he rose up, and with a very small band he began to overpower the overwhelming numbers
of the English, the Southrons, they called them. But there's a phrase that he was given, this chieftain, that is quoted over and over in the book. And the simple phrase that he put his trust in and thereby won victory after victory, that phrase was, God arms the patriot. God arms the patriot. Amen. That may be as it is, but I want to tell you tonight, God hasn't left you in the battle on your own. God arms the believer. God arms the born again. He has given us the wherewith to win the battle. Amen. Could I remind us tonight that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world? He has armed us and prepared us to have the victory. Can you say amen tonight? But when we speak of our victory being the faith, it's not the faith that's spoken of today, faith as a force, or faith as a formula, or faith as our own ability to outwit the enemy, or faith as the ability to conjure up hope. No, what it means by faith here, it means what our faith is in. The victory that overcometh the world is our faith. But the point is, what is our faith in? There's the victory. Amen. The thing that our faith is in is the victory. We go to chapter 5 to learn who rather than what that is. But he says, who is he that overcometh the world? In other words, who is he that has the victory, the faith that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. The victory that overcometh the world is our faith. But the faith that overcomes the world, that is the victory, amen, is the faith that believes in who Jesus is. I'm telling you, my victory over the world isn't just in some feeling I call faith that I conjure up. My victory over the world is I'm trusting Jesus for victory. My faith is in him. He'll not let me down. He'll not let me be defeated. He'll come to my right side. He'll come to defend me. Oh, hallelujah. We can overcome. The promises are if we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. A faith that overcomes the world is a faith in who Jesus is, a faith in what Jesus has done. A faith that Jesus is living in our hearts. A faith is that Jesus will have his way. Somehow I believe when the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle John wrote this promise. He was there when Jesus said it. And I think he had these words of Christ in his mind, in his heart. John 16:33. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye shall have peace. In me ye have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said, I've spoken all this unto you so you can have peace. But he said, you know, I love the realism of Christ. He wouldn't make it as a preacher today because he just told folks the way it was. He didn't say, you know, if you follow me, you'll have nothing but prosperity. He didn't say, if you follow me, you'll never have another trial. You'll never face another demon. You'll never fight another temptation. He said, I want to tell you the truth. In this world, as long as you're in this world, you're going to have tribulation. By the way, the word tribulation literally means pressures. How many knows there's pressures in this world? He told it like it is. You'll have tribulations. You'll have pressures. Or let me put it this way. In the world, you'll have pain. You'll have a fight. You'll have discouragement. You'll have a battle. In this world, you shall have tribulation. But I've spoken unto you that in me, you might have peace. In the world, it's a struggle. In Christ, it's peace. You know why we can have peace? Because he helps us overcome the pressures of the world. Amen. But be of good cheer. You're going to fight this world, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. I want to tell you that only faith can overcome the world. And don't misunderstand me. Practices of prayer and reading our Bibles are so important. Good works
are important. A disciplined life is important. But I want to tell you, good works and standards and practices of righteousness will never give you the victory. But the victory will give you the good work. And the victory will give you a disciplined life. And the victory will give you a prayer life. And the victory will give you a walk with God. It's faith that gives the victory. And then the victory gives the rest. Amen. Would you come, music? If you were to read in the paper tomorrow that John Doe recently inherited $5 million. That'd mean nothing to you unless you was John Doe's spouse or John Doe's child. And then it means something to you. See, if you didn't have a relationship with him, that he inherited that money, that would mean nothing because there's no relationship there. But if you had that close relationship, his inheriting $5 million, that would affect you. Jesus just says here, look at the last words. I have overcome the world. John Doe inherited $5 million. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. That means nothing to you unless you're in relationship with him. And then if you're in relationship with him, it means something. If he's overcome, so have we because of our relationship. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Could you stand? Can we go to that in just a moment? Could you hit G just a moment? Well, I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, oh, my Savior forever. Well, he sought me, I know he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. Well, he plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory. How many's glad we can have it tonight? We can have victory. We've got a promise of victory. This is a victory that overcometh the world. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. Keep on leaning on Jesus. Amen. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Let's sing the chorus one more time. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Well, he sought me, I know he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. Well, he plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Hallelujah. I wonder if tonight Maybe you're up against it, maybe not. But I wonder how many would come and just stand tonight to say, I'm going to stand on the promise that I'm going to overcome the world. How many just begin to come, fill up the front, and stand and say, I'm going to stand on the promise that I'm going to overcome. Let's come and stand tonight to show that we're standing on the promise of God. And when you get up here, pray with one another. Amen. Pray with one another. Amen. Say, we're going to claim the promise of God.